Well, hello. God bless all of you joining us tonight from Holy Land, USA. We are here at Spring Break Week and joining this with our college students that come in from different parts of the country. And so everyone here wants to wish everyone there a happy spring break. Yeah, we're here tonight. We've got about 20 total that's going to check in for the week, and we've got a good contingency represented here tonight, and we are going to have a fantastic time. And this, what a great way to kick off spring break week, but by doing the webcast here. So we're being joined. For those of you here, we've been joined in our webcast by people from around the country that tune in on Tuesday night to listen to me talk about wild and crazy things. And so tonight I'm going to talk about you, the wild and crazy things that you are. let me have a word of prayer. We'll begin tonight. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight and reverence and awe of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us and allowed us to live in the ways that you've allowed us to live. And thank you for continuing to prosper us and give us safety and the privilege to fulfill your will and our lives, and we're thankful for this, and in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So, here at Spring Break Week, I want to share something with you tonight that I want to do for the webcast, so I want you, each one of you, to take one of these and then pass the rest of the stack to someone else and let them have one, too. There's two pieces of paper. Let me tell you what this is, and this is an article that I got my hands on a couple of days ago from David Wilkerson. And David Wilkerson, if any of you know who he is, let me have one of those, Grace, if you would. He is a very notable minister that lives in New York City and has been ministering for many years. David Wilkerson wrote a book when he was a young man called The Cross and the Switchblade, which made a pretty interesting and deep impact on a lot of kids around the world, and he still has runs the ministry called Teen Challenge. One of my spiritual sons, Dave Carlson, is the educational director of one of the Teen Challenge works in Minneapolis, Minnesota area, but David Wilkerson has done a fabulous work for youth in the United States for many, many years. And about 10 years ago, excuse me, about 10 years ago, David Wilkerson wrote a book, and the name of it was America's Last Call. And in it, he warned of the danger that the United States was involved in the course that they were heading in their ungodly lifestyles and mannerisms and the way they were living their lives. And he really said it was America's last call to return to God and return to holiness. And that has not happened. And actually, in fact, it's gone the other way. And on our webcast that I do and I send out across the country, I try to stay as current and as fresh with information as I can to help people stay in front of the power curve as far as what's going on in the body of Christ and what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And I felt that this word from David Wilkerson was of such importance that it would be good for all of us to go through these articles. I want to read them. For those of you joining us on our webcast, you can Brother Martin Herb will have these posted in our archives later on. We don't have the links for you right now, but the first article I'm going to read from is from the WorldNet Daily, and it's dated March 9th, 2009. And I'll just read it with you. You guys can follow along with me. Famed pastor predicts imminent catastrophe. says best-selling author, Teen Challenge founder, sees earth-shattering calamity about to happen. And the article begins, a respected pastor, best-selling author, and part of a major ministry to teens, predicted an imminent earth-shattering calamity centered in New York City that will spread to major urban areas across the country and around the world. Part of what he sees as a judgment from God. David Wilkerson, author of The Cross and the Switchblade, a book about his ministry to troubled New York street kids that was later made into a movie starring Pat Boone, tells readers of his blog this weekend that he is compelled by the Holy Spirit to send out an urgent message about his prediction. An earth-shattering calamity is about to happen, he writes. It's going to be so frightening that we are all going to tremble, even the godliest among us. Wilkerson's vision is of fires raging through New York City. It will engulf the whole megaplex, including areas of New Jersey and Connecticut, major cities all across America, and will experience riots and blazing fires such as we saw in Watts, Los Angeles years ago. He explains there will be riots and fires in cities worldwide. There will be looting, including Times Square in New York City. What we are experiencing now is not a recession, not even a depression. We are under God's wrath. In Psalm 11, it is written, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? Wilkerson is the founding pastor of the Times Square Church in New York City, where he launched a ministry to gang members and drug addicts in 1958. He is a highly regarded mentor to other pastors in evangelical circles and travels the world holding conferences for other Christian ministers. His work in New York in the 1950s and 1960s led to the formation of Teen Challenge, a nationwide ministry to reach out to people. With life-controlling habits, Teen Challenge has grown to include 173 residential programs and numerous evangelical outreach centers in the United States. 24 real centers in 77 other countries, the program claims a recovery rate of 86%. The story of Wilkerson's first 5 years of ministry in New York is told in The Cross and the Switchblade, a book he co-authored in 1963. The book became a best-selling phenomenon, and more than 15 million copies have been distributed in over 30 languages. God is judging the raging sins of America and the nation, claims Wilkerson. He is destroying the secular foundations. Wilkerson urged everyone to stockpile a 30-day supply of food and other necessities to deal with the catastrophe he foresees. I do not know when these things will come to pass, but I know it's not far off. Wilkerson concluded in his message, I have unburdened my soul to you. Do with the message as you choose. The vice president to the Southern Baptist Convention is hoping believers pay attention to Wilkerson's message. I have known David Wilkerson for more than 25 years. As many of his friends and associates as Pastor Wiley Drake, he is a godly man and believes he is listening to God. I encourage other Christians to read and heed what God is saying through our brother. So, that's the first article. The second one, this is March 9, 2009, a further word. If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And this is a continuation of what he wrote. Recently, I feel compelled to send out an urgent message warning of an impending great calamity, such that will cause even God's elect to tremble. One bishop asked, is there no further word? How should the righteous respond to such a word? I can only answer by sharing what the Holy Spirit is speaking to my own heart and what I am to do. I shared that I was led in a practical way to lay aside a month's supply of food because I had witnessed the panic in the wake of terrorism. That has to be a personal word. That has to be a personal word for every individual. This is what I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart and concerning my own spiritual response to impending calamity. It is simply this, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And Moses said to the people, fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Exodus 14:13-14. This is the attitude of faith in the face of calamity. Could Israel do in the brink of the Red Sea? Pharaoh's army is pressing in. Mountains are on both sides, and there is an impossible sea ahead. The flesh cries, do something. The flesh cries, hopelessness. Can God's people dry up the sea, level the mountain, fight a great army without having weapons? They are in what appears to be a dreadful, frightening situation. God's people tremble, and in this hour of trembling comes a word from God. In essence, stand still. Fear not. This is the hour of salvation. You are going to witness the pulling down of the foundations of the world power. And in the same hour, I will fight for you. Hold your peace. Be still and see my works. Beloved, my warning is just one voice among many who are saying the same thing. We may all tremble for a season, but those who truly know God's word will be quickly comforted by the Holy Spirit. We will be baptized with a great peace, a supernatural quietness, which will be a tremendous witness to the fearful multitudes. In Christ, David Wilkerson. This is a very intense and a very heavy word. I deal in the prophetic. I walk in it sometimes myself, occasionally, and I know that one of the things that you have to do in judging a prophetic word is to consider the source. And this is a very grave, very reliable man of God who has sort of reminds me of the prophet Jeremiah that began prophesying that the nation of Israel was going to go, or Judah, was going to go into captivity. They prophesied it for many years, and they finally did. But this is a very interesting piece of information to come snowballing your way here, isn't it? Dealing with the potentiality that this is a word from God, it will come to pass. And sometimes God gives words and people respond and humble themselves the way Jonah did. Jonah gave the word to the people of Nineveh, and they repented for a season. But anyway, this is a very interesting and very thought-provocative concept for us to look at. And I would imagine some of you here have considered situations like this before. But we here have some suggestions for us to take. And so we're here tonight. We have an opportunity to hear from the college-age demographic. And so I'd like to hear what some of you think about hearing this word. I mean, what's going through your mind? What do you think? I mean, do you think it's real? Do you think it's a gimmick? Do you think it's... What do you think? What do you see happening on the horizon for us in our country? If any of you have anything to say, yeah, let me know, and I'll hand you the microphone. But this is a very interesting word. Comes from a very reliable source of a man that the youth of America, of the United States, has listened to for many, many years. Even whenever I, all the way up from the time that I was a youth, I was listening to David Wilkerson. I sent this out, this notice out to all of my intercessors and all the partners within our ministry, and I obviously am bringing it up to you because I think, myself, I think it's a very valid consideration, and with that in mind, it's always good to be prepared, isn't it? It's not just a motto and a slogan from the Boy Scouts. It's the real deal and the real truth. Talk to me. Are you think this is a possibility? You think this is something that's just hearsay?
Listen.
Hold on. Give me your name. Where are you from?
Elizabeth Sides, Bedford, Virginia. I think that this is very possible that this can happen. I just don't think it's going to be the end of the world, in my opinion.
No, it might be the end of New York City and a lot of the other cities. But, no, I don't think it's the end of the world, but you know what? There are some interesting prophecies in the Word of God in the book of Revelation, chapters 17 and 18, about the destruction of Babylon. And Babylon is the world riches and the kingdoms of this world. But there's serious prophecies about this in the Bible coming to this. About this. Anything else? Any other thoughts you got on this? Sean? Name, where you from?
Hi, my name is Sean O'Donnell, and I'm from Maine. I think this is kind of an interesting situation because the economic people are kind of forecasting going into another depression, like the Great Depression. But there's kind of a lot more concentrated population in the cities and stuff. And I really don't think the malls are where they were when the Great Depression happened. And I could see, if things go down the tubes, things getting crazy really fast. You know, just think about what happens if the economic system collapses. If that collapses, farmers aren't going to get money for their food. Their truckers aren't, you know, if the trucking companies get laid off, then the food doesn't make it to the cities. How long do you think it takes, if food doesn't make it into the cities, for everything to collapse? It's just something to think about.
There's apparently about 2 to maybe 2.5 days worth of groceries in the stores to sustain our economy if the trucks and commerce doesn't bring it in. So once the food runs out in the cities, it's where the looting and the rioting and the pandemonium sets out. Now, there's untold potentials that could cause this to happen within our nation. As Sean was talking about, could be economic. We could wake up one morning and the bell sounds in the New York Stock Exchange, and then everybody sells, and the whole economic infrastructure of our country collapses, and especially based upon the dollar. Of course, Christian will have something he might want to say about that. But anyway, it could be a terrorist attack. It could be, you know, the detonation of suitcase bombs in different cities around the country. And it could be coordinated terrorist attacks in different places. And, you know, I'm on board with Brother David Wilkerson. And not that I want to create a situation. I think the situation is being created. And I believe that to deny it would not be prudent. And I don't believe it would be in keeping with what my call is to be the watchman, to stand on the wall and to sound the alarm. I've really been expecting to see something of this nature happen in our cities for quite a long period of time. In the fact that it happened, it hasn't, makes me wonder even that much more so, why it hasn't happened and what's keeping it from happening. But anybody else have anything they want to say about this?
Could this be the start of the Great Tribulation that's been prophesied?
Well, the part of the Great Tribulation is prophesied when you pick it up in Revelation chapter 6 that there's a, the people, you know, there's the four horsemen of the apocalypse, and one of the scourges or one of the things that happens as a result of the four horsemen is a shortage of food. And I was just reading an article today online by another very notable person, Andrew Strom, and Andrew Strom has said unequivocally that we are in a huge danger of shortages of food across the world and droughts in so many places. And so a lot of these are, that's an excellent question, because the reason we ask is this relative to the beginning of the Great Depression, the Great Tribulation. And I believe that they certainly can be coinciding, and it looks so much more the same as we see things developing. I was listening the other day, and if you hang around me long, you're going to have an opportunity to hear some more of this, but my good friend Russ Chandler, who sometimes tag teams in with me and teaches on our webcast here, Russ has been doing a teaching on how to interpret the scriptures, and that this will sound fancy. It's really not. He says that the proper way to interpret the scriptures is Christological hermeneutics. So there you go. But Christological hermeneutics is seeing Jesus Christ in every page of the Bible. And when I was looking at the Bible in that way and seeing Christ even prophesied in the Old Testament or told about in the New Testament or foretold in the coming prophecies, I looked at the book of Revelation in a whole different way, that the book of Revelation is the unfolding of his story, Jesus Christ's story, and what's going to come to the earth. And he's the one that's going to loose the seals. He's the one that's going to release the wrath of God on the earth and people's punishment for having rejected the ways of Yahweh. So is this a precursor to the beginning of the Great Tribulation? I think it's got a real good possibility that it's related. Sure enough. What difference would that make to your lifestyle if the entire social infrastructure of our country and our society was demolished overnight? That there was pandemonium, riots, and bloodshed in the street, and people killing you for a quarter or for a half a biscuit. Well, what kind of changes would that make for you and your lifestyle? Yeah. Well, not much. I usually carry a gun around everywhere I go.
One thing to remember, somebody else out there is always going to have a bigger gun, though.
Well, that's true. I was ruminating over these words yesterday and thinking about them, that I was reflecting on my grandchildren. And I also recognized that in the recent bailouts that the Federal Reserve avails to the federal government, that they were, in fact, leveraging the Social Security number of my grandchildren to pay off the money that they were borrowing. And, if you didn't know this, there is no plan to pay it back. I mean, there is no plan to pay it back. So at some point in time, the economic failure, I don't see that it can be prevented. Talk to us about that, Christian.
What's your name? Tell us what you think. My name is Christian Richmond. I'm from Durham. I agree with what's being said tonight by Dr. Dale. I think, the economics of things are a serious matter. And right now, the allegiance of our country, I believe, is to the money.
God says that we can't be
both lovers of him and of money. I think, where this used to be maybe a nation set up under godly foundations, we kind of strayed from that. And I believe, there are consequences for that. And what we're seeing in the economy right now is just a precursor to the realities that I think we're going to see even more dramatic, you know, among people. You know, there's this one guy I listen to who has a pretty good quote. His name's Gerald Celente, and he says, you know, when people lost everything and they have nothing more else to lose, they lose it. And really, you know, people are going to start realizing that, you know, we don't have a way to pay out this debt. And so they're going to start realizing that, well, it's going to be pandemonium, unfortunately. But I like what David Wilkerson is saying. He's sending out a warning, but he's also saying that, you know, God is going to be rising up a victorious church. So the important part is to remain in him and to let the peace of God transcend all understanding. So, yeah, I agree with what's being said tonight.
You know, I'm a fan of mixed martial arts, and I like to watch the fights, and so that's my entertainment. I heard these two guys jawing at each other once and talking about whenever they fought, what they were going to do. And one of them said, I'm going to take you and knock you down and ground you and pound you and, you know, boot you to your whatever. And so the commentator said, well, what do you got to say about that? And the other guy said, well, you know, everybody's got a plan until they get hit. And that's a good word to remember, but, you know, it'd be a good idea to have a plan. And I mean, I've been advocating and encouraging those people within my sphere of influence, like David Wilkerson says, to have some food put back and not be tied to the umbilical cord of society, but to have a reasonable amount of self-reliance. And I think that's a good plan, to not be totally dependent upon society. But where I'm at and where I have been in my position in these through all the years is, though I can see this kind of scenario developing, and if it's not now, it will happen at some point in time, just because of the history of democracies and republics, that, you know, they have a life expectancy. And ours is the oldest one that has ever existed in the history of the world. But, you know, if or when or if this happens, and whatever it does, I want the Christian believers to be in a position to have the peace of God in their heart, to have the trust in the Lord, not just in a 30-day supply of food, but in the leading of the Holy Spirit and in the direction of the Holy Spirit to keep them safe and to lead them through turbulent times like this. Because if in fact that this is God's judgment, these kind of things, God's judgment coming on our nation, well, where do you fit into this? I mean, is there God's judgment coming on you too? On me too? I mean, you say, well, I didn't do anything. Well, you know, well then, I guess the people that got killed in the tsunami in December of 2004, you know, maybe their relatives may have said the same thing. Well, they didn't do anything wrong. I mean, they were just victims in the situation and in the circumstance. So, but you know, how do you deal with this, Jimmy, when you go back to school? I mean, you know, when you're living off campus and, you know, you're trying to, you know, figure out how to eat for a day, you know, or, you know, have enough money to eat and make your way through school. How do you, yeah, it presents an issue, doesn't it? It really does. So, would be good to have a plan, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Would be good to have a plan. And if in fact or when in fact a social calamity of this nature hits, you know, there may be a lot of pandemonium, there may be a lot of confusion, and there may be a lot of bloodshed, and there may be a lot of dying. But there's going to be life on the other side of it. And that's where we want to be. And we want to be alive on the other side of it and to understand why these things happen. And, you know, I really do. I can see a judgment of God and the need for God's judgment to come on our nation. And have been a Bible teacher for a number of years. And been through and taught the seven cycles in the book of Judges that God delivers people, they enjoy his goodness, then they forget him, he sends them a warning, they reject him, he sends them into captivity, and then he sends them a deliverer, and then the whole cycle starts all over again. And so that it's whenever we get in a situation where we forget who gave us the great blessings that we have, then he's certainly in a position to remind us of that. There surely is an expiration date on earthly governments. And there's, you know, there's no guarantee of any of them lasting aside from the fact of the one that Jesus Christ is going to establish whenever he comes to the earth, that governments come and go. They ebb and flow, they rise and they fall, God rises kings and God removes kings, and you know, the people that are in the different kingdoms are subject to the kings. But there's one thing about it that we have that should give us a leg up in the issue, and that is that we have the knowledge of the Word of God, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have the help and intervention of God. Now, I've always liked the definition of an atheist as one who has no invisible means of support. But that is where our means of support is, in the invisible one, the high and holy one. You know, I've looked at lots of scenarios dealing with a scenario like this that causes the looting and the rioting and the pandemonium in the streets. And, you know, having a 30-day supply of food is a real good idea. Having a 30-day supply of water is even a better idea. Because you can get by without food for a long time, but you can't get by with water but just for a short length of time. So, you know, supplies and being prepared are good things to have. But on the other side of this, you know, life is not about meat and drink or food or raiment or, you know, how we're clothed. And this is what the exhortation in the book of Matthew is, that, you know, Saul in all of his glory wasn't arrayed as one of the lilies of the field. And God knows that we have the needs that we have, but in crying out to him and putting our sufficiency and our dependence in him is where we need to go. I have something else that I want to contribute to this discussion. And this takes me back a couple of years. I was doing a teen week, and we were hiking on the Appalachian Trail, and maybe a couple of you here remember that, but it was an eventful time to some degree, and yet it wasn't until the last night of our hike that I really felt like that we had reached a breakthrough and that it made an imprint in people's lives. And what I said to them was, I said, do you know that the odds are all favored that you are going to have an opportunity to accept or deny Jesus Christ at gunpoint? And it really stunned the entire group that was there. And I sort of think that they had envisioned the fact that this may happen to some other people in some other place. But this is a very interesting scenario that's going to be faced, that we're all going to be faced with, and we're faced with it day by day, whether we realize it or not. But, you know, in a drastic situation like that, I can tell you for sure that the Christian faith is being pressed and being pushed and being persecuted by the enemy and then it's going to continue to happen. We've had a nice, easy run of it here in the United States where we have not been persecuted because of our beliefs, but it's coming. And so these are the kind of things that will determine whether you reign with the Lord Jesus Christ in his glory as far as accepting him and not denying him, or whether you won't reign with him in his glory. But we've never seen this kind of pandemonium break out in our soil, in our country here, that David Wilkerson is foreseeing that is going to take place. And I likewise very much believe that this is a time of war, that's why we wouldn't be talking about it if I thought it was just a cheap, nonsensical thing. But I believe that these are things that we all need to live out in our mind. And I had a good friend of mine that called me. I was talking to him about this earlier today. And he said, well, what if, in fact, as Elizabeth asked, what if this is the ushering into the Great Tribulation? And I said, well, you know, for the most part, a lot of Christians believe that in the Great Tribulation that they're going to be raptured off the planet and everything will be fine. And listen, I hope they're right. And I mean, that has been my belief for many, many years. And, you know, if I tell you it's not my belief today, it won't change what happens. Because we could all agree and we could all still be wrong. But in the event that we're not raptured off the planet, I read the book of Revelation, I think we should all be prepared to die and to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. And to not, I mean, isn't that what it says in Revelation 12:11, that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and one of their testimonies, and they loved not their lives unto the death? I've been banging the drum of the 1,000-year reign of Jesus on the earth for quite a few years, and telling people that life is not just wound to the tomb, and you know that it's not just that you have everything that God has ever promised just because you say that yes, Jesus, I believe. That there is rewards coming to those individuals that have truly dedicated their lives to him, and those individuals that do not deny him, and for those that's listening to this, that's been dialing in on a webcast on a consistent basis, I'm trying to get us in front of the power curve so that we won't be deluded in the end times and be drawn into this deception, this vortex. You know, I was talking to my wife, Vicki, about this the other day. She said, you know, we were talking about our children and their beliefs, and she said, you know, whenever you told them that you believed that the Lord was coming back and that the date of Tishrei 1, 1999 was a date that it could be the gathering of the church, and it didn't happen. You know, I've never been a big setter of dates. I've always tried to see what I could figure out. But, you know, this is the things that we're looking at here within our nation, it may not be the beginning of the Great Tribulation. It could just be God's wrath that's being poured out on this nation for what we have done in rejecting him, and what we've done in spreading the things that we have around the world through the media, through Hollywood, through the other things. And in many ways, rightfully so, that there should be a wrath and a judgment coming upon us. So anything any of the rest of you want to say? You got any comments at all about this? Anything that you'd like to share? Grace?
I'm Grace Daniel. I'm from Bedford, Virginia. And I've been thinking a lot lately about how life is really sort of like this epic love story between God and man, and how I'm taking it from the perspective, like, you know, Jesus is looking for his bride, but
I also take it as us here on Earth, we're kind of like, we're the soldiers, we're the warriors waiting to, like, fighting off all the pleasures of this world so that we may be worthy of our bride, in a sense. Like, you know, are you going to fight and stay true to your love? Or are you going to turn aside? Are you going to give up? Or are you going to, you know, succumb to the easy and cheap pleasures of life? And I think, like, if this, you know, big calamity happens and stuff, I think it will really prove who of us, you know, really do, you know, really does love God, and who of us will be worthy to receive that love, because, you know, like, a woman wants to be fought for, and I think, you know, Jesus is the same way. I mean, he's not a woman, but, you know, obviously, but, you know, are we going to stay true to him and say that, you know, God, I'm going to wait for your love. I'm going to wait because I know on the other side I'll be with you. And so this is like the testing period, you know, like testing period for a man to win the love of fair maiden, blah, blah, blah. So, I don't know, that was just my 2 cents.
That's worth more than 2 cents. Surely, you know, I think he is testing our faithfulness. We'll have an opportunity to prove that. But I've often wondered my personal response at a time of calamity like this, what would it be for those individuals? Would I be more concerned about me? And what about me and my stuff? And what about me and all the things that's going on about me? Or do I really have a heart of the Lord Jesus Christ and wanting to help others? And so, you know, I think that there's a reasonable sense of taking care of yourself and your family for sure. And those that you love, your loved ones, as the book of Galatians says, as you have therefore opportunity to do good unto all, but especially unto the household of faith. But that's another way whereby you get proven, you get tried, you get tested by getting run through the olive press of life. You know, you get squeezed and see how much juice is in you, how much of it squirts out of you when you get squeezed. So, but that's what happens whenever you get squeezed. That's what happens when you get squeezed.
Yeah, I just kind of want to follow up with what Grace said. I think we might be moving into a time during, I guess, the young people's lifetime where really the lukewarm Christianity is not going to be able to, endure. You're going to be figured out whether you're for God or against him. I think God's doing some things where he's sifting through. And it's a good thing. He's waking people up, those who maybe turned away from him, to come back to him, to really put their trust and hope in him and not, you know, in other, you know, stupid barriers like your finances alone, because it's really God who is going to be the master provider. So I think that's interesting. But I also wanted to kind of pose a question. God's kind of put it on my heart that, you know, to know what it is to be in a Babylonian system, you know, I'm talking about the Babylon of Revelation. And, you know, God continually tells us he tells his people, leave her, you know, escape from her. You know, run from her even. Get out of the system. So I wanted to pose a question to everybody. What does it mean to escape the system? You know, is it a physical city or a couple cities? Or is it a spiritual system? And how do you know if you yourself have truly disengaged? Some people say, well, Babylon system is, you know, just America, how she's polluted other nations with, just going after the, quote, American lifestyle, but you know, what is that system exactly, and how do we know that, you know, we've escaped it or left it ourselves?
I'm looking for the verse that he's referring to.
Okay.
Well, it's in Revelation, I think it's in 17.
Yeah, Revelation 18:4, I heard another verse from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. But that's the verse that Christians talk about. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. Good question. I was just in a conference. anybody got a response to that?
I don't think it's just one particular thing. I think it's mainly spiritual, but it could be in a physical place as well. I mean, Babylon, I mean, it was spiritual as well as physical place. It could be all the above. New York might be the Babylon of this country. It's possible. My name's Alicia McKnight. I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina. I actually see all of it tying in together because especially like what's going on now, and if it gets worse, you know, what do people have that, you know, to fall back on? And, you know, if you know, especially us as Christians, if we're not, you know, continuing to pray and continuing to stay in our Bibles, you know, and reading God's word, you know, again, it's like, what do we have to fall back on? Where's our faith? You know, it's going to make us fall as well. And it's like, we have to continue to stay strong because, you know, if it gets worse, we're going to end up in the same state that people are already in. Our mindsets are going to change, and we have to keep our mindset on Christ because, you know, one day he's going to come back. And one of the things I was going to say, too, like when Elizabeth was talking about, you know, could it be ushering in? I see it as I see already a spirit of you know, ushering in the Antichrist. And, you know, with all this recession going on, you know, it's not just here in America. It's around the world globally. You know, the economy, period, around this world globally is falling. It's just, you know, and it all reverts back, you know, Where's your faith in the end? You know, where are you going to stand in the end? You know, if you don't have anything, who are you going to trust in? Are you going to put your trust in, you know, man to get you these things, or are you going to put it in your trust in God?
So, yeah.
Well, you know, to come out of her and be not partaker of her sins, lest you receive of her plagues. You know, I agree that can be in your mind. That, like when you read about the destruction of Babylon, and all the merchants of the world cry and moan, and, you know, all their spices and their fine linens and all their things are gone in an hour. That can't be where our allegiance is. Our heart has got to be in the greater fundamental values than in the physical things of the flesh. And so, I mean, I was talking about this Christian. Christian's a senior in economics at Duke, and I know he's got a lot of interest in entering into the marketplace and, you know, not getting caught on the wrong side of the fence or, you know, working for Babylon when you want to be working for the true God. And, but the issues as far as I was at this conference and we were learning on about investing in the stock market. And even now in these turbulent times, ways to invest in the stock market. And I made mention of this to the individual that was conducting the seminar. I said, you know, if this in fact is Babylon, you know, then did we not see the kings of this world try to prop up their idol with the bailouts and with the stimulus packages? And of course, these things are conjecture, and they may be right, and they may be wrong. But the thing that I am reminded of is in
was it 1 John 2:16? All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so the things that have been so glamorous and alluring in our society to our eyes and the things that we desire so much, I think that's a good part of the whole idealism of Babylon. And not just the physical things, but the emotional dependency that we have on them as well. And really, and that's what, in fact, we're talking about, in effect, we're talking about seeing destroyed if the looting, the rioting, all these other things happen, that it will it'll change our lifestyle and take away our creature comforts. Our creature comforts. So. Well, anything else? You?
I'm Hugh O'Donnell, and also from Maine. And I was just thinking, you might be thinking, well, it's just crazy Dr. Dale saying that the world's going to end and the sky's falling, but he already showed us David Wilkerson, and there's a lot of other respectable Bible guys like Michael Rood and my father and a bunch of other guys saying the exact same thing. And I think something big is going to go down, and it might be soon, and it might be later on. You know, in the Old Testament, the prophets were prophesying for 40 years sometimes about stuff coming. There's really no way to tell, but I think something big is going to happen sometime in our lifetime, but probably pretty soon, the way things are going nowadays.
Yep. It's true, there's tremendous numbers of individuals that are recognizing the seasons and the times. So, you got to sit down.
Eric?
I'm Eric Hyde. I'm from Virginia as well. I want to speak to what he was saying, is that it is true, prophets will speak and prophesy about something for years and years to come. And the gap isn't so big when you read it on paper. It seems as though in this, in the current times, we have had a real effect on speeding things up. And then we have made we have rapidly ushered in things to pass. And then of course, David Wilkerson says, I know that it will be soon, but I don't know. Don't know when, and he's not the only person that I've heard in recent weeks talk about terrorist attacks or anything, and the source could be anything, but it is true, we're going to have to deal with something very serious, and I think that David Wilkerson's on the right track. The specificity of what he said, I don't know a thing about, but just also the fact that it's New York City. That's the financial center of most of the world, most of the free world, all of the free world, most of the world. And that would, any sort of extreme circumstances within New York City could dramatically affect within minutes the infrastructure of the United States.
Well, there you have it. So I thought this would be good to just take the lid off this thing, let it air out a little bit and talk about it. It's not something that none of us have not entertained the possibility of it occurring. And even though we entertain the possibility of it occurring, you make the preparations to do the best that you can whenever those things come up. But I tell you one thing, and I've been through this thing all the way back since Noah was a kid. I refuse to be driven by fear. I refuse to, say, if New York City could catch on fire, well, I'm not going to go over there and do this because I might get, and I'm just not going to live that way. I think God is big enough to give us advanced warnings as far as the things that's going to take place in our lives. And even if we don't have them, praise God, He gives us enough grace to get us out under the cover of the army. And even if that doesn't happen, He'll give us enough grace that
to die properly. You know,
if it comes to that situation, then that's, you know, our lives are hid in Him. And that's where it's at. So, anyway, I'm thankful for Brother David Wilkerson to have the spiritual gumption and gall to come forward and make a statement such as this. As I said before, as Hugh was mentioning, some of the rest of you talk about, this is not an uncommon theory and idea that people have. But this is something that's pretty commonly going around. And if or when these things happen, stand on the rock. Because that's the only place where there's not shifting sands. And that's exactly, I think, the major issues that we'd like to glean from all of this, and that is if we pre-think and pre-plan and prepare in our minds that whenever the hard times come, then we won't be like the foolish man that built his house on shifting sands. No, we'll be like the wise man that built his house on the rock. And this, you know, brings me back to a lot of the things that has led me into some of my deeper studies in the Bible. I'm convinced, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know this unequivocally because of what the Word of God testifies. That's in the heavens, that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah, the HaMashiach. He is the Savior of the world, and He is God's plan for redemption. And we built our house upon the rock. So, anybody have anything else they want to say? Sure. Comment on? Well, what a blessing it's been to be broadcasting over the Internet tonight. Again, thank God for Brother Martin Earp and what he facilitates for us as far as distributing this. Those of you that's out there listening to us, that's tuned in on the webcast, please remember to keep us in your prayers. We're going to be at Holy Land here through Sunday morning of this coming week, and we're going to have a great time of rest. Christian got in today and took a nap. I said, I can see what spring break is going to be about. So, yeah, hallelujah, man. This is what you got to get rested up for the last push in this semester and for the rest of your life as well. So, thank all of you for joining in with us on our webcast tonight. So, we are going to sign off from Holy Land, USA. And everybody here wants to tell you how much we love you. Say, I love you.
I love you.
And so, you should have been here. And we agree. So we love you, and we'll be tuning in with you next Tuesday night, God willing. Love you. Good night.